Sarvada Madhava Sanjavi Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Bhava Bhava Girivana Dari. Gopi Jana Bala Bala Girivana Dari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Nanachari. Jamuna Tira Panachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Bala Bala Girivana Dari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Pareva Jakacharya Asatata Sata Shri Srimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Pareva Jakacharya Asatata Sata Shri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Prem Chikaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita, Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur, Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Go Gopinath, Shyamakund, Radhakund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 11, entitled The Childhood Pastimes of Krishna. And we're reading texts 8 and 9. 8 doesn't have a purport. So we're just going to read 9 together. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So actually, I'm going to read text 8, the verse and purport, and then we'll do 9 together. Bibharti kvachit agnapta pita kon mana padukam bahu shepam chakurute svanam cha pritim avahan. Translation. Sometimes Mother Jasoda and her gopi friends would tell Krishna, bring this article or bring that article. Sometimes they would order him to bring a wooden plank, wooden shoes, or a wooden measuring pot. And Krishna, when thus ordered by the mothers, would try to bring them. Sometimes, however, as if unable to raise these things, he would touch them and stand there. Just to invite the pleasure of his relatives, he would strike his body with his arms to show that he had sufficient strength. Text 9. Darshayam stad vidam loka. Atmano britta vasyatam. Vajasyo vahavai harsham. Bhagavan bala chastitai. Darshayam stadvidam loka. Atmano britya vasyatam. Vajasyo vaha vaiharsham. Bhagavan bala chastitai. Please chant. Ladies. Darshayan, exhibiting. Tat vidam, unto persons who can understand Krishna's activities. Loke, throughout the whole world. Atmana, of himself. Vritya vashyatam, how he is agreeing to carrying out the orders of his servants, his devotees. Vrajasya, of Vrajabhumi. Uvaha, executed. Vai, indeed. Harsham, pleasure. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bala Chastitai, by his activities like those of a child trying to do so many things. Translation. To pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Vrijvasis by his childhood activities. Please repeat. To pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Vrijvasis by his childhood activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. That Krishna performed childhood activities to increase the pleasure of his devotees was another transcendental humor. He exhibited these activities not only to the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi, but also to others who were captivated by his external potency and opulence. Both the internal devotees, who were simply absorbed in love of Krishna, and the external devotees, who were captivated by his unlimited potency, were informed of Krishna's desire to be submissive to his servants. So I'm going to read the translations of both verses again. Sometimes Mother Jasoda and her gopi friends would tell Krishna, bring this article, or bring that article. Sometimes they would order him to bring a wooden plank, wooden shoes, or a wooden measuring pot, and Krishna, when thus ordered by the mothers, would try to bring them. Sometimes, however, as if unable to raise these things, he would touch them and stand there. Just to invite the pleasure of his relatives, he would strike his body with his arms to show that he had sufficient strength. To pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Vrijvasis by his childhood activities. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasad Bhutale, Shimidi Bhakti Kanta Samanita, Namani, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani, Vachani, Rishesha, Sami, Vada, Vastani, Stani, Hare Krishna. First, I just want to say one little thing about Purushottam Mass, since Keshava Prabhu was saying it's coming and starting in a couple of days. Back in like 93, I think, or 94, I was in Vrindavan during Purushottam Mass, and I heard many stories. So one of the things that I was told then can be confirmed if it's a fact, but I was told that in the month of Kartik, we know that everything's increased, our offenses as well as the service we do. But in the month of Purushottam Mass, that increase of, well, he was saying 16 times 1,000. I heard it was 17 times. Anyway, not that significantly different, but that increase is only in our service. In other words, what I understood was there are no offenses accepted during the month of Purushottam Mass. So it's very auspicious and comes up every 32 months. It's like our leap month to make up for the fact that we have a lunar calendar and so we get behind. And I was going to welcome back Divyanga and his family, but I see he went out of the room. Was he welcomed earlier?
Yes.
Oh, he was. Okay. Just wasn't here for that. Okay, so in these verses, the first verse 8, there's this beautiful description of little baby Krishna who would be ordered by the gopis, by his mother and the other elderly gopis who were considered his mother also. You know, they were asking him to bring things. And we can just imagine how adorable, absolutely adorable Krishna was, because even in this material world, our experience, those of us who are parents, I think I look around and I see quite a few, the majority of people in the room are parents. And when we watch our own children growing up, they're just so cute. I mean, they're just, you know, captivating to watch. And, you know, we even share stories about, you know, the cute things they did. And I mean, actually, every species of life, when you look at the babies, they're really cute. I mean, even baby buffalo. I mean, buffaloes are pretty ugly, you know. But even baby buffaloes, you know, so like pretty much any species. But when it comes to humans, you know, the kids, we can only imagine, because we don't have direct experience of how, you know, baby Krishna acted, but we can just see if our own children are just, you know, just so attractive to us, then we can just imagine how cute this scene is, where his mothers are telling him to bring something, and then he's, it's described that he would act as if he couldn't pick it up, and he would just touch it, touch the item, and just stand there. But then he would use his arms, as described, to strike his body, and just to show that he actually had the strength. Of course, we know about Krishna's strength. He picked up Govardhan Hill with a pinky of his left hand. But this is just one of his wonderful pastimes, just to captivate the hearts of his devotees. So in the following verse, then it's described that this very interesting concept that Krishna is subdued by his devotees. Even though his devotees are his servants, still he is actually submissive to his devotees. And then it's explained that the reason is just to give more pleasure to the rich bossies by his childhood pastimes. So when I first read these verses, I was thinking how there's always like this transcendental competition between Krishna and his devotees. Like the devotees are always wanting to serve Krishna, and then Krishna is wanting to serve the devotees. So it's a real transcendental competition. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, when he started this movement, we had many transcendental competitions. We don't seem to have that mood anymore, but it was definitely a way that Srila Prabhupada used to increase book distribution, for instance. That was one of the biggest, most noticeable forms of transcendental competition, and he would have the different temples competing against each other. Who could distribute more books? And then sometimes he would really rev it up and say, double it. So no matter what we did, you know, at a Christmas marathon, for instance, then the next year we wanted to double it. But there was other transcendental competitions as well. There was a very heavy transcendental competition between different temples about how beautiful they could decorate the deities. And so especially between some of the major temples like New York and LA, there was a competition. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, like the Sankirtan competition where we had the Sankirtan newsletter and we could see the scores. But it was a little more subtle, but it was definitely there. And then there's even, you know, transcendental competitions between devotees. Sometimes just, you know, it's not a competition where one person is going to lose. Everybody ends up the winner when there's a transcendental competition. So this competition between Krishna and his devotees, so Prabhupada is describing that in the purport. And it's very interesting terminology that Srila Prabhupada is using. He's saying that Krishna performed childhood pastimes to increase the pleasure of his devotees was another transcendental humor. Well, I looked up this word humor, thinking, okay, Srila Prabhupada's using it actually to mean relationship or rasa. And because then it's very clear, like he exhibited these activities not only to the inhabitants of Rajabhumi but to others. So he's definitely meaning relationship. But when I looked it up in several dictionaries, I never even saw an archaic meaning that would mean relationship. It only humor only meant, you know, something humorous, something funny. So it's just one of those words that we can just appreciate how there was, Prabhupada was just very expert in using words. And because there's no direct translation of the word rasa, sometimes he used the word mellow, but that's kind of hard to relate to. But somehow it works. We understand what Prabhupada is saying. But maybe somebody else knows if there's some meaning to humor that I'm not aware of. But anyway, Srila Prabhupada is saying that all of Krishna's pastimes were increasing the pleasure of the Brijavasis. And he says, but also to others who were captivated by his external potency and opulence. So yeah, there's other places Krishna exhibited his pastimes. And I was thinking, well, Mathura, no, wait a minute, that's also within Braj. So, I mean, I just want you all to help me fill in where I'm not remembering, but Krishna also exhibited his pastimes in Dwarka, exhibited his pastimes on the Battle of Kurukshetra, so he was in Kurukshetra. So where else did Krishna exhibit his pastimes? Somebody fill in the gap here. Is there a gap? Dwarka, I said Dwarka. Anyway, there was others who got to see Krishna's pastimes. Then Srila Prabhupada is saying that the internal devotees who were simply absorbed in love of Krishna and the external devotees who were captivated by his unlimited potency were informed of Krishna's desire to be submissive to his servants. So I looked up this term, internal devotees, and Prabhupada used that term a lot. And he was describing devotees who had the various relationships, the various rasas that we're familiar with. But when I looked up external devotees, interestingly enough, this is the only time that Prabhupada used that term, external devotees. And he's describing them as those who are captivated by his unlimited potency. So obviously there are two different kinds of devotees, and I don't quite understand, except what Prabhupada is saying right here, that there are, I guess there can be devotees who are people who are simply captivated by his unlimited potencies. But typically when we hear the word devotees, we do think of people who are surrendered to Krishna. In fact, we use the word to mean those of us who totally accepted Prabhupada's teachings, and we, you know, we're chanting Hare Krishna. I'm always thinking about not just our individual path as devotees, but collectively as a society, as a movement. Because even though ultimately we have to fly our own airplane, still the dynamics of our movement are that we are all in this together. And in fact, there's no way to fulfill Prabhupada's mission by one person. It is totally a group effort. And the more people who pitch in, the faster Prabhupada's mission will be fulfilled. So therefore, to me, it's very important to always be looking at what can we do to increase the cooperation among the devotees. We've heard, I think it was Abhiram who had told us that Prabhupada had said, you'll show your love for me by how you cooperate. So it's really, to me, it's an important topic that I feel should be discussed regularly, like how can our community, I mean, we can talk about the whole of ISKCON, but really, this is our Prabhu Dattadesh, am I saying it right? This is where we preach, and so we should be really most focused on how to make this community as powerful and potent as possible. So, interestingly enough, yesterday I received a mailing, and I'm going to tell you who it's from after I read what it says on it. There's a statement on this mailing. It said, "Movements for real and lasting change are sustained by the relationships we build with one another." Now, we can apply that to ISKCON. Couldn't that mean ISKCON, right? That we want real and lasting change in the world. And according to this statement, I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying I got this in the mail. But it says it's sustained by relationships. So this was sent to me. Actually, it was sent to my husband, but since he's in India, I opened his mail. It was sent from Michelle Obama. It was a picture of the presidential family. But when I read it, it was like, wow, this can be applied to ISKCON. This is so true. Like, our relationships are so important. Because after this wonderful festival we had, Janmashtami and Vyasa Puja, there was so much service that needed to be done, and so many of the activities were a cooperative effort. The decorations, the preparations, the cooking, there was setting up the grounds, greeting the guests, just making so many preparations for festivals. We really see how people, devotees, are coming forward and doing things together. And so the dynamics of, I've been thinking about integrity a lot. I've been thinking about integrity because the way I think about the meaning of integrity is honoring your word. So when we have people coming together to work on something, for instance, even just like cutting up vegetables in the kitchen. So if they make an announcement in the morning, okay, we need 10 people to cut up vegetables, and then 10 people raise their hands. But if only 9 people show up in the kitchen, then they're shorthanded, and it's going to have an impact on everybody else. So that one person who committed and said, yes, I'll do it, but then they didn't come through with it, then there's an impact on other people. And there's an impact on that person too, because the other people around them are going to think, that person didn't show up. I can't count on him. You know, they're not reliable. But, you know, maybe another time you give them a second chance. But if they do it again, then, again, it's you're going to definitely write them off as, okay, I can't count on this person. And, again, there's an impact on the people around you. But the biggest impact is on ourselves. I mean, when we think about, you know, when we speak something, we're speaking it into existence. We're saying, I will do something. Like, especially important when it comes to vows, like marriage vows or initiation vows. Basically, we're only as good as our word. I mean, in the days gone by, we've heard that people would make an agreement and just shake hands. Nowadays, like, we write tons of paperwork and get it notarized and recorded and whatever. You know, like, we put stamps on it and just have to go through all that, and still people will break it. But I'm just making the comparison how it used to be. You could count on somebody. They gave their word. And a man is only as good as his word. And there's this saying that I used to think it came from Plato or Aristotle, and I looked it up online, and it turns out it's Shakespeare. But anyway, and I'm sure you're all familiar with this line, "To thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man." So this, you know, Shakespeare is, Prabhupada quoted Shakespeare. So it was very wise advice. We want to be true to ourselves, and this gives us strength. So I once participated in a, I guess you could call it a group game, in which the dynamics were that unless everyone won the game, no one won. And that made an immediate, when we heard those rules, it made a shift in our minds. Like, I can't just be concerned about myself, because I'm not going to win unless everybody else wins. So therefore, the self-centeredness that I just know for myself, I'm admittedly self-centered all the time. But when I heard those dynamics, then there was definitely an impetus to reach out to others and see how they're doing and see if there's something I could do to contribute to their success. So although Srila Prabhupada didn't divide us up like that, he didn't create those dynamics, but at the same time, getting back to the point of like, we're all in this together and we're only going to be able to fulfill Prabhupada's mission as a society, as a group. So therefore, it is important to reach out to others and make sure that everyone is got all the facility that they need, especially inspiration. Like, I really feel that devotees can inspire each other in many, many ways. And, for instance, I see myself as sometimes being very negative or critical. But when I see that the impact when I share that with other people is that then I'm bringing them down to my low level. And the opportunity is there when I'm feeling upbeat and very positive and very fired up about Krishna consciousness. Then when I share with other people, then it's an impact of raising their consciousness. And so I just wanted to encourage people to be aware that we do impact each other. Sometimes even a total stranger will say something to us and make our day, or the opposite can happen too. So we want to be conscious of the impact we have and how we can simply by seeing things in, the bright side of things, then it could make a real difference in our community. So just to say one more thing about integrity. So this definition that I appreciate, which, to be, consider it, to honor our word, as our very self. So if sometimes our word is broken. I mean, we can say, okay, I will do such and such, and for some reason, we can't. That happens in life. But there's a way to clean it up. We don't just not show up for something and never communicate why that we're not coming or why we couldn't come. So that's always available. So increasing communication is a really important part of having a community that works. Especially when you consider that there is a point in time when we realize that we can't fulfill that agreement. If I say I will go into the kitchen to cut vegetables, at some point that I realize I can't do it, at that point is when I should communicate to the person, I can't come in, sorry. So that they can find somebody else, or they can make some other arrangements, or you can make some other arrangement. But something can be done. But if we just let it go, they'll get along without me, then that's we're leaving a mess behind us in our life. And basically, it's up to us to be responsible to clean up the messes. And but we can also... anyway, there's many dynamics of being responsible. But the point is to... that's important to me anyway, is to understand that when we give our word, then we should fulfill it. And when we see we can't, then we should clean it up. And sometimes people confuse integrity with morality, and there's a difference. Morality is, being truthful or honest or a moral person. But integrity is, it just has a different dynamic, and it's really about our word and being true to yourself. So I will end here and ask if there's any questions or comments or corrections. Thank you. No hands are going up. Bhakti Lata Prabhu.
Such a profound principle. And often it's so funny in my experience with devotee communities, sometimes there's this issue about, like, notoriously, like, we're on ISKCON standard time, or, you know, like, or people don't show up or don't come or say they're going to do something and not. And I guess I'm just really fascinated also why you felt inspired to speak about integrity, especially in regards to the verse that we read today. I mean, I just think it's interesting. Like, what comes to me is that almost like for us to be fully in our integrity is how we can even be of service to Krishna, and that why he would even want to be submissive to. If somebody's fully in their integrity, then it's like there's a natural loving relationship, almost like that's the foundation for any kind of relationship. And I feel like what's my relationship with my word is just such a powerful principle. Yeah. I mean, like, it's what the universe is created from, is the word.
Sound, and yeah.
So I was just appreciating that, and also curious how, you know, what that inspiration came from in speaking about today's verse.
Well, yeah, the verse is really pointing out that there's this, you know, competition between Krishna wanting to be submissive to, you know, do what his devotees want. It was on my mind, though, about integrity, because it's just, like you say, in this community, it just happens way too much. And I want a community that works, because we all want a community that works, right? I once heard a 3-hour lecture on this one point: without integrity, nothing works. I mean, I've heard more than 3 hours, but there was once just on that point: without integrity, nothing works. So it just, that's why I brought it up. It's just so important to me. Yes, Trivikram Prabhu.
Concerning that point about giving your word and then not honoring it, I had like a dilemma. Like, you know, I put myself to help in the kitchen, doing vegetables and stuff. But when I went there, the kitchen was packed with people, you know. Mm-hmm. You understand? More than, you know, space for other people. Mm-hmm. So I just said, well, maybe I'll find something else to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I just left it at that, really. But
But you showed up.
Yeah, I went there. And
so that's fulfilling your word.
There was so much, you know, but there were so many people there.
Sure.
So I said, you know, well, it seems like it's covered, you know. And then later on, I mean, like, at the evening when the feast was to be served, there wasn't so many people there, so I tried to pitch in there and help out, you know. So, at least I find something. And I felt a little satisfied. Well, you know, I was able to fit in something to do. See, like that.
Right.
So sometimes it's, you know, it's not like a straightforward thing. You may avail yourself of something, but then you find that that there's not room or so to perform it. So, you know, I mean...
Well, that's not the same thing as not showing up at all.
But you made an interesting point. That is, how can we cooperate and serve? You know, and that's something we have to really work on. But I think it starts with our sadhana, you know. I mean, if we have, like, good sadhana, we develop a lot of strength. You know, a lot of strength, and then we can communicate better, you know. But if you're, you know, a very spaced out person, it'd be difficult to come in and fit among other people that are really, you know, a little more together, you know. So, we have to realize, we have to try and work on these basics, see. And when we work on these basics, then we would gradually fit in, and able to do so many other things. But of course, I mean, there's, you know, if we organize things, I mean, we can have one person that organize devotees into groups, you know, and have them doing different little projects, and then eventually they can come together and do one big, you know, like that. That's just a, you know, beginning level, you see?
Okay, thank you for that. I think that the dynamics of, sometimes we have to make arrangements like, okay, tomorrow we're going to, you know, put the decorations in the temple or something like that. So there's time to forget that we said we'd do some particular activity. I was giving an example of the cutting vegetables, but that's usually like immediate, you go in the kitchen. But sometimes, you know, it's a more, we have to make more complicated arrangements. And then there's time to forget. Okay, so then if we forget completely, that's like we've really gone unconscious. But if we know we said we'd do it, but we don't show up anyway, and then we think we have a good excuse why we didn't. And it's just, like having a good excuse doesn't make up for it. The only thing that you can do is clean it up. Like I was trying to explain, like to clean it up means, you know, you go to that person and you, actually I didn't explain that, but you could go to that person and say, I said I would show up to help whatever it was, maybe even just to meet somebody, whatever. I said I would do it, and I admit that I didn't do it. Like the first thing is to admit that I said I would do it and I didn't. And then you can say, and from now on you can count on me to do whatever it is. You know, I mean, you can put that out there and say, you know, from now on you can count on me. And then guess what? You've got to do it. Because if you blow it again, then it's, you know, it just erodes your integrity. So, Vishaka, you had your hand up next. Well, the verse is, okay, there was two, we read two verses, but the main point in the verse where the purport is that Krishna, by Krishna's activities, he exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees. So there's like this transcendental, to me it looks like, it sounds like a transcendental competition. Krishna wants to serve his devotees, and the devotees want to serve Krishna. So in the world of so the reason I brought up integrity is because in our community, which is our place where we're performing our service, we want to have a community that works. So I've been seeing that there's a need to be, I see a need for conversations about integrity, because there's an impact when we're not our word. It impacts us because it erodes. I mean, if we can't even believe ourselves, how can other people believe us? So it impacts us, but then there's an impact on other people. Especially when there's some service that needs to be done and somebody doesn't show up, then it's like, you know, other people are left holding the ball, basically. And, you know, like I was thinking another example is like Sankirtan partners. Like say you're going out on Sankirtan with your partner and that partner doesn't show up. I mean, it really has a big impact. Either you're going to have to go out by yourself, or maybe you're not going to be able to go out at all. Or maybe you can find somebody else. But I mean, it's like, you know, there's like a ripple effect on our, you know, when we don't live up to what we said we would do. Okay, I'm not sure who had their hand up next, but I think it was Dharmaraj. Then I'll go back to this side, where we're over time, so. You want to get the... Dharmaraj.
Regarding these points, I just wanted to pretty much more so remind myself on some of Prabhupada's instruction on that. One time Prabhupada said that this movement is not for lazy people. That if you're lazy and you're responsible, you should go home and let your mothers train you. This was some back in Mayapur. And devotees were not, you know, behaving well. Then towards the end, Srila Prabhupada gave a very open instruction wasn't to any individual devotees, to all the devotees, to all of ISKCON. And that instruction was in the form of just three words. And it says, just be responsible. And if we analyze that instruction, those three words, we can be successful materially and spiritually and in every aspect. Mm-hmm. So if we analyze that, then everything can go on. The other thing I was thinking in terms of our movement here, that a devotional service, that if you understand the principle that, in, and this is in relation to the verse of wanting to serve Krishna, with all we know that Krishna doesn't need our service, he can do everything himself, but we should feel, and the Brijbasis, this was the mood of the Brijbasis, that they felt that they had to do everything for Krishna. So like that, they had to feed him, they had to clothe him, they had to take care of him, they had to dress, they had to do everything for him. Yeah. So similarly, a devotee should have that mood that we have to serve and that we have to perform within our movement. We have to take care of the deities, if not, they won't be fed. And also Srila Prabhupada stretched it to a next level, that each devotee should think that if I don't do this service, it won't get done. So therefore, I should come forward. So even if we are going into the kitchen, as the example was being stated here, even if we go into the kitchen and we see there are 999 persons there, and there's just room for one person to stand up, we should go and stand up there and do something. So in other words, we should make that effort that to try to serve, and we should think that if we don't serve, then the Lord won't be pleased. So like that, we give everything there. So I want to share that.
Okay, thank you. And Sita, she had her hand up. Dear Lalita had her hand up too, but she's left, I guess so. She's just walking around the temple. If she comes back, I'll call on her too.
I definitely see how within our movement there's a lackadaisical mood with keeping our word. There's Hare Krishna time, and there's Gurukuli time, which is that times two or three maybe. But also within society, it's like that. So I was wondering why you think that it's like that, because before, a shake of a hand was equivalent to what is now 200 papers signed in a recording and a picture and video of what happened. So it's Kali Yuga, or why do you think that it's like that?
I can only guess. It seems like it's Kali Yuga, but
I feel in our movement, there's a higher percentage of people not keeping their word and being out of integrity. Whereas with Christians or Mormons or people who are so organized and responsible, they're just being responsible. That's such the culture. And I feel like it's really, it's not our culture as devotees. So when it was such a Prabhupada's instructions, just be responsible. Do you think, could you comment?
This is why I brought it up. It's the conversation's already out there. We've heard it in other venues. So why not talk about it in the devotee community? Because this is of all people, shouldn't we be the ones leading this conversation, being the example? We're supposed to be the example in every respect, certainly in good behavior. But anyway, I totally feel we have to learn. Other people have, talked about this. There's whole courses about being responsible. Why not exemplify it, right? Okay, we're really over time, but okay, Dharmaraj.
Anyway, I don't know, you're kind of going over, but I felt with that point that Bhakti brought up is that it's very important that an answer be given, because this conversation is going over the internet, going over the planet here.
Okay.
In regards to devotees not being responsible and holding up to the word as against different groups. One thing to note is that with every group outside of ISKCON, it's pretty much based, and this is not in criticism with anyone or so, But the fact of the matter is that every group outside of our society basically is going hand in hand with Maya, which means that they're going with the flow. So to stand up to some principles, let's say like what we're talking about here, to stand up on your word and on time, it's easy for them to do that because that may be all the principle that they are following or that they may stand up to. When one becomes a devotee, and I'm not defending the devotees on this, but I'm making a point that is very practical. When one becomes a devotee, and it's a direct war against Maya, and to follow this extremely high, supremely high standard from our background, from a supremely low standard, per se, to come up to this level, and then to implement everything into our lives within one lifetime, what Srila Prabhupada is requesting us to do, then even little things like this, to be on time or to stand to our word, can become difficult. An example of this is that, and I know sometimes we get criticized for this, like we are, let's say for example, a devotee who comes to the morning program, Mangal Arati every day, and follow, you know, and attend all the programs and doing it every day. Sometimes during the day, they may be tired. And then another devotee, and I'm quoting this because it happened to me in the past. Then another devotee who just attend Mangal Arati once or twice a year, you know, during the day, they said, hey, what happened to you? You know, you're tired, you just attend Mangal Arati. But the fact of the matter is that when you're stretching your energy so much 24/7, as against one person who does it once in a month, it makes a huge difference. It may look like that person is more enthusiastic than you, but when you're totally engaged and so much engaged in so much activities in devotional service, then because we're conditioned in a different way and we're training our bodies to engage in devotional service, then different things can, little things can apparently be obstacles. Just like, for example, Srila Prabhupada said that sometimes even to follow the regulative principles can be so difficult. So, yes, we should, you know, try to strive for the highest standard. But when one has to strive for a million things at the same time, if we try to understand it from that perspective of trying to strive for everything at once, then we have to stretch our body, mind, and words in all different directions, and sometimes these things can be difficult. So we're not saying that no, that yes, we should be the way we are. What I'm saying is that whilst we have to strive for that highest standard, then we have to understand, because we're fighting a direct war against Maya. Because even Srila Prabhupada said that Maya attacks the devotees more than the outsiders, because she knows the outsider are already under her control. The devotees are not. The devotees are slipping away. So it's another form of Maya acting along with the influence of Kali Yuga to bring about all these obstacles. And sometimes we can end up criticizing ourselves or criticizing other devotees, because this is also how Maya works, creating dissension among devotees. Like, that's the way, like, The Kuravas, they were trying to create dissension among the Pandavas. They're thinking that nothing can break these five brothers. Let's try to create dissension among them. And they weren't able to do that. So if we, with all, you know, we have to preach these principles, but on the other hand, we have to see how important it is and see that from the devotee point of view, how we are, what our position is, and what encouragement we need to give others to bring up to that standard, to fulfill the entire circle of what Srila Prabhupada wants us to be.
Okay, well...
Oh, it's too long, right?
Okay. Yeah, well, I just want to... Yeah, the class is really way over late, but I'm going to say the final word because I'm going to class, right? I would say... I think that we can use the principle, accept what's favorable in Krishna consciousness, to take things from the materialist, non-devotee world and use them in Krishna service. And this, and I don't, the example that you gave of, you know, Mangal Arati and feeling tired, that's a little different than the example of giving your word. And And that's something we can always honor our word. We may break a promise, but we can honor our word by cleaning it up. And that's just the principle. And I think that if we use the facilities of the material world in Krishna's service, then I think that's the best use of those things. You know, with Bhakti Siddhanta's time, it was considered bad and wrong to ride in a vehicle. And there was other rules too. I don't think they wore any sewn clothing. But you know, Srila Prabhupada, he adopted things for time and place. He took the boat across the ocean. He flew in the airplanes. He wore sewn clothing. He was able to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world very successfully. So, okay, we're going to end here. Hare Krishna. Thank you.